Freedom from Fear. And tonight's sermon topic, our title is Fear of Lost or No Hope. And we're going to look at the verses when Jesus was a near death on the cross. So this would have been tomorrow, Good Friday, we call it. And we're going to kind of break those down and look at what's going on and the words that are spoken from the cross and kind of the things that are happening there tonight. And so, why don't you turn in your scripture to Luke in the Bible, Luke 23, verses 44 through 49. And we're going to read those. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. I want you to emphasize before you close your Bible tonight, verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice. I want you to just pay attention to that verse tonight as we go through the message and what's actually going on at the time as well. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that your Spirit fill this place tonight. And Lord, may these words be your words, and may you fill me with that same Spirit. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here tonight to hear your word. Lord, may they hear a message of encouragement, a message of hope, a message of love. In Jesus we pray, amen. Two and a half hours south of here, you will run into northern Omaha. It is a place of lost and at times very little to no hope. How many of you have ever been in northern Omaha and maybe you've done some mission work or maybe you visited that area? If you've been on a mission trip with church, maybe you were down there, maybe you experienced some of this. It's a place where crime is rampant. It's a place where children and families go without food. Drugs are very common. Where there is hopelessness such as this, life will drive people to do some terrible, terrible things. We might even experience this loss of hope within our own lives by the circumstances that you and I might go through from time to time as well. So let me share with you tonight the circumstances Jesus and his followers went through on that Good Friday. Jesus, as you know, is suspended on the cross, hanging between heaven and earth, his life force draining out of him. He's been hanging there for the past 3 hours, yet he has hope. Jesus brings hope in the midst of hopelessness. He forgives his executioners. He promises paradise to a thief that's dying beside him. And now he waits, laboring to take his next breath. To do so, he must lift his body, pulling up with his arms and taking the next breath. Jesus will breathe as long as he has strength. Though the scourging of the Roman soldiers has taken much out of him, he can feel himself weakening over time. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. It was about 9 a.m. when Jesus was hung on the cross, according to Mark 15, verse 25. But at noon, darkness falls over the whole land and throughout Jerusalem, and especially in this killing ground, the darkness is felt, heavy and foreboding. But what does this darkness mean? What is its significance? The gospel writers don't tell us, but there are several possibilities that we can draw conclusions from of what this darkness might mean. It may symbolize the reign of moral darkness that has entered the earth. Darkness is a symbol in Luke's gospel of ignorance, spiritual blindness, evil, which we see so much in this world today. And yet God's plan is for his son's suffering to actually redeem us from our sins, which is truly astounding. It's amazing. It's a miracle that the way his plan unfolds, and often we gloss right over that. And that's why we gather here tonight. Remember that verse I told you to think about and remember here tonight? Jesus called out with a loud voice. He's been on the cross for quite some time now. And for somebody who's near death, this takes quite a bit of energy. And he screams out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. And it was over. Scarcely would one expect from a man who's about to die these words. But Jesus seems determined that his words be heard. He wants people that are gathered there to hear him. So let's look closer to what Jesus is speaking. Can you hear me all right? I heard a little noise in the mic earlier, and I want to make sure. Janice, is my mic turned up? Okay, very good. So let's look closer at what Jesus is saying to his people as he yells out these words. First, Jesus speaks to God as Father. He addresses him. He knows his position. And as he's done throughout his ministry, death is no out-of-control situation. The Father's there. The plan's unfolding. Nothing's an accident that night or that day. No matter how bleak the moment, his Father is present and has always been present with him. Now the Father is ready to receive his Spirit as he breathed his last. But let this be a reminder to you and I that God is always with us no matter what the situation, even in death. The Father is always there. Second, Jesus entrusts himself to his Father. And he speaks the word commit to the Father. "Lord, I commit my spirit to you," is what he says. So Jesus entrusts the Father with his life for safekeeping. And so you and I, you need to entrust the Father with our lives for safekeeping. If you've committed your life to Christ, and you're walking with him, and you're praying with him, and you're living life with Jesus, I hope that you can say, "I've committed my spirit, my life to Jesus, to the Father, for safekeeping." And may that bring you hope. And so we need to trust our Father with our own lives. And if we can do that, you and I can live with hope and peace, no matter what life brings. Thirdly, Jesus gives up his human life to his Father, who gave it to him 30-some years before. 33, maybe pretty close to that, when Jesus was on the cross. But Jesus uses the word spirit, which is a word associated with the word pneuma. You might have heard of that. In the Greek, we get the word pneuma. It can mean breath of life. It can refer to the Holy Spirit. But here, it probably refers to the personal spirit of Jesus, which is part of that human personality or his soul. You and I are filled with that same thing. Our pneuma, our soul, our personality of who we are, how God has created us. That's what leaves our body and goes to be with God in heaven someday. Pneuma. We've read the phrase, breathed his last. And then there's another common phrase that you might use once in a while. Is say your car quits. And you might use the phrase, gave up the ghost. How many of you ever heard that before? See, but that's what that's referring to. It's referring to the death of Christ. And so ends the human life of Jesus on the cross. Son of God, Son of Man, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. If you and I were there that day, you would assume that it's over. Jesus is dead. I truly believe that even like the disciples and his followers and the women that were there, they couldn't make sense of everything that was going on. This is not how it was supposed to go. And so if you and I were there that day, we would have been in a situation where we probably would have lost all hope. Jesus is gone. Our Savior, he's dead. Nobody's ever come back from the dead. We've seen his miracles. We've seen him raise a 12-year-old girl from death. We've seen him raise Lazarus. But really, this is how it's going to end? And Luke even records the reactions of those onlookers to Jesus' death. There's something different about this death, though. Luke 23, verse 47, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man," is what he says. The centurion, a career Roman military officer, has probably seen and supervised many crucifixions in his life. Though the task is unpleasant, he's probably become used to it. It was normal for him. But in this man, whom he has observed for only a few hours, he sees something totally different about this death that he's never seen before. He sees a death different than many hundreds he's ever witnessed. And he's in awe. The Bible writes about that. It specifically tells us about that. And there's a reason for that. Though a Gentile, he praises God. He declares Jesus righteous. And so in this context, the Greek meaning means that more than an innocent of a crime. It also used to describe one who lives with high standards. Somebody that's upright, somebody that's just, fair. That's how he describes Jesus. That's how we notice that this death is different than any others I've ever seen. Later, if you were to refer to Mark 15, this very centurion is questioned by Pilate, who wants to make sure Jesus is dead. Now, we don't have record of what that conversation was like, but I wonder what that centurion would have said to Pilate about this specific death. What kind of a conversation would they have had? How would the centurion spoke to Pilate about what this death looked like, and is he really dead? But I don't have an answer for you tonight. But I can assume that he said some things that probably caught Pilate's attention about Jesus' death. Let's move on to Jesus' closest followers. the reaction of Jesus' disciples, the other men, women that were there. They're in shock. They're wailing. They're crying out. But they stand at a distance. Notice that the scripture points that out to us as well this evening. Now, whether they stood out of distance because they were fearful, or maybe there was more danger that was imminent or around them, and they were maybe worried for their own lives. Maybe they were shooed away by the Roman guards because they needed their room to work and to carry out this crucifixion. We don't know for sure, but they stood at a distance. John's gospel records that near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. But now they are separated from Jesus by death. They are left hopeless, and the loss is great. The loss is great. So let me ask you a question. How would have you felt if you had witnessed the death of your leader, your friend, and your Lord, if you would have been there on that day? As a pastor, I've spent the last hours with families and witnessed their pain and shock when their loved one dies. Some of you have been there when your loved one has gone on. Sometimes they will cry out in a loud voice because they hurt. Sometimes they take the news with a mute numbness and they're in shock and they don't know what to do. Death, even though you might be prepared for it, when it comes, it is so sudden and so final. You see, less than 24 hours ago, for these disciples and this women that are traveling with Jesus, they were in the courtyard of the glorious temple. They're watching and assisting as Jesus teaches thousands of eager learners. Remember, it's not that far from Palm Sunday, where things are joyous. Celebrations are going on. People are cheering. Their king has arrived. And now his voice has been stilled. His teachings on this earth finished. They are crushed with sorrow, unable to imagine life without him. Sometimes I believe that you and I can reach places of such hopelessness and such loss in our own lives. We get depressed at times. We wonder if it's worth it at times. How can we go on at times? Because of maybe the situations that life will hand you. And you might even conclude that there's no joy anymore in life. No deep meaning of life anymore. There might even be an emptiness from time to time. But let me remind you, when you think this way, you err. You think in error. Because on the third day, this coming Sunday, Jesus' shattered followers will learn that God never lets death have the last word. Amen to that.